Welcome to the Kingdom Reformation Podcast with Glenn Blakeney. Here the fire of revival ignites hearts and fuels a supernatural move of God throughout the nations of the earth. Join us each week for prophetic insights, apostolic teaching, and powerful conversations that will equip you to live fully awakened in your kingdom purpose. This is more than a podcast. It's a movement. Learn more about us by visiting kingdomreformation.org. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping into someone maybe a bit underrated in the grand scheme of things, but really crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about Barnabas from the New Testament, and we're specifically looking at him through the lens of leadership and mentoring.
Right. And our main source for this is the book Barnabas, Encouraging Exhorter, a study in mentoring by Bobby Clinton and Laura Rabe. We're digging into their insights.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to unpack what made him tick, you know, especially his role as this great encourager and mentor figure.
And what can we pull from that for ourselves today? That's the goal.
Definitely. The book calls him an underrated contributor, and I think that's spot on. His story, when you look closely, has these profound lessons about seeing potential in people.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. The book talks about his early life, his foundations. What stands out there?
Well, it points to this really interesting background. He's a Jewish Levite, so he has that connection, that standing within the religious community.
Okay.
But, and this is key, he's from Cyprus, an island. The study argues this wasn't just a biographical detail.
Not just trivia.
Exactly. Being from Cyprus, exposed to the wider Roman world, multicultural influences, maybe a different worldview, it uniquely set him up.
You mean prepared him for something later?
Yeah, the book suggests God was kind of sovereignly using these background factors, setting him up to be a bridge builder, a linker between the Jewish core and the growing Gentile movement.
Okay, that makes sense. And his character shows up early too, right? In Acts 4.
Right away. You see his integrity, his sensitivity to the Spirit. The book highlights his act of selling land and giving the money.
And contrasts it sharply with Ananias and Sapphira right after.
Yeah, that contrast is powerful. It immediately shows Barnabas's sacrificial obedience, real integrity, and probably his gift of exhortation already at work.
So the name the apostles gave him, Barnabas, son of encouragement, that wasn't just a casual nickname.
The study argues it was more than that, almost prophetic. It set the direction, the core bent of his life and ministry, encouragement, exhortation, that was his thing. Though his gift mix was likely broader, maybe apostleship, teaching too.
And that Cyprus background again.
Yeah.
Being from the dispersion.
Perfectly positioned him. He understood both worlds, could navigate between them.
Which leads us straight into maybe his most famous intervention, sponsoring Paul.
Oh yeah, huge moment. Saul, the persecutor, has this dramatic conversion.
But nobody trusts him, especially not in Jerusalem. They're terrified, right?
Understandably. He shows up, says he's a believer now, and people are keeping their distance big time.
So Barnabas steps in, and this wasn't a small favor.
No way. He basically puts his own reputation on the line. He takes Saul, this guy everyone fears, and introduces him to the apostles Peter and James. The study really emphasizes the risk Barnabas took here.
He must have built up considerable trust, some real influence within that Jerusalem church to even attempt that.
Exactly. He had that spiritual authority, that influence, and he spent it on Paul. The book calls it a divine contact, absolutely crucial for unlocking Paul's ministry and really the whole Gentile mission.
Wow. So it's God ordained, but Barnabas had to be willing to use his standing. And Paul himself knew how important that was later.
Yeah, the study notes Paul emphasized that connection. Barnabas opened a door no one else could or would.
Okay, so that kind of sets the stage for the next phase, right? Antioch.
Right. News gets back to Jerusalem. Yeah. Gentiles are believing in Antioch. And who do they send to check it out? Barnabas.
And the reasons they picked him are significant.
Totally. The book points to his character acts, calls him a good man full of the Holy Spirit and faith. That's high praise.
Seriously.
Plus, his Cyprus background helps him understand this mixed environment. He's trusted by the Jerusalem folks. He's got the right gifts, apostleship, exhortation.
So he gets to Antioch, this new, vibrant, maybe slightly chaotic community of believers, lots of Gentiles. What's his take?
He sees the evidence of the grace of God. And the study highlights this. He was genuinely glad. He encouraged them. This Jewish Levite, validates this new thing God is doing. He rises above his background.
That must have been incredibly affirming for them. Huge. And then he thinks of someone else.
He thinks of Paul. He sees the potential there, sees the need in Antioch for strong teaching and leadership. And he doesn't just wait. He actively goes to Tarsus to find Paul.
Like he knew Antioch was the perfect place for Paul to grow.
The study suggests exactly that. A dynamic place for Paul's gifts to develop, for him to gain status, mentored by Barnabas.
So it's not just bringing in help, it's intentional development, co-ministry as mentoring.
Absolutely. Their time in Antioch together was like a training ground. Barnabas, the established guy, shares the platform, gives Paul chances, builds his credibility.
And strengthens that Antioch church where they first get called Christians.
Right there, during their partnership.
And that story about the famine relief for Jerusalem fits too.
It does. The Antioch church gives generously, likely motivated by Barnabas, echoing his own early giving. It links the two churches. The study sees Barnabas acting apostolically here, discerning the need, moving people to action. He's linking again.
Okay, so he's established himself, connected Paul, validated Gentile believers, built up Antioch, mentored Paul. What's next? The big missionary journey in Acts 13.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit sets them apart, sends them out from Antioch. A sense of destiny, the book notes. And they take John Mark along too, kind of as an apprentice.
And this journey changes the dynamic between them, doesn't it?
It really does. The study calls it the authority switch. You start seeing it around Acts 13, verse 9. Paul increasingly takes the lead role in speaking, in confronting opposition.
Wow. That must have been something for Barnabas, the mentor letting the mentee step forward.
It shows incredible maturity, humility. The book has this great quote, something like, "Few people see the church growing best when they intentionally bring forward another person who's better suited for the moment."
So Barnabas recognized Paul's specific gifts for that task and stepped aside.
Willingly, yeah. It wasn't about him. It was about the mission. Huge sign of a secure mentor.
And they learned a ton together on that trip.
Oh, yeah. How to do cross-cultural evangelism, dealing with spiritual opposition like with Elymas, figuring out how to present the message in places like Lystra.
Right, the whole Zeus and Hermes thing.
Exactly. Establishing churches, appointing leaders. The study says this became Paul's basic model later. Barnabas was right there with him for that foundational experience.
It feels like such a powerful team, which makes the conflict later feel, I don't know, more jarring.
It is. They get back to Antioch, great reports about the Gentiles. But then the controversy blows up. Do Gentile believers need to follow Jewish law? Acts 15, Galatians 2.
Where Paul confronts Peter publicly, and Barnabas gets pulled into it too.
Yeah, he seems to waver under pressure from the Jerusalem group. The study suggests maybe his desire for unity, his peacekeeper personality, made him stumble there. Or maybe just struggling with the full implications of this new Gentile reality. It's a contrast to Paul's laser focus on gospel purity in that moment.
A very human moment.
Definitely. But even after that, his credibility is still vital. He goes with Paul to the Jerusalem Council.
Right. His presence and testimony helped confirm the Gentile mission.
His standing with the Jerusalem leaders mattered. The book suggests his main mentoring work with Paul was kind of done by then. He had launched him.
And then comes the other big conflict over John Mark.
The famous split. Paul's gearing up for another journey. He wants to go back and check on the churches.
Barnabas wants to take John Mark along again.
But Paul says no way. John Mark bailed on them during the first trip. For Paul, that past failure was like disqualifying at that point.
But Barnabas sees it differently.
Totally differently. He insists on John Mark. He sees the potential still. He's patient, tolerant. The study even wonders if Barnabas's own recent slip-up gave him more empathy for failure.
So he's doubling down on his core belief, developing people second chances.
Exactly. Even when Paul, his star mentee, disagrees strongly, it highlights Barnabas's commitment to restoration.
And it leads to them splitting up. Paul takes Silas, Barnabas takes John Mark.
Yeah, Barnabas heads back to Cyprus with Mark. And the study notes, okay, his direct ministry sphere might look smaller now. Just Cyprus, just Mark.
Well,
but the work with Mark was absolutely not in vain. Paul himself later asked for Mark, says he's useful. Barnabas's investment paid off.
His mentoring was vindicated.
Completely. And the study makes this powerful point. A mentor can achieve more indirectly through those they develop than they might directly themselves. Barnabas's legacy is deeply tied to Paul and Mark.
So looking at the whole picture, the study really paints Barnabas as this like archetypal mentor figure.
It really does. The conclusions emphasize qualities like seeing potential, especially helping someone recover from failure. That's a key archetype. tolerance, patience, flexibility.
Having the vision for what someone could be, not just what they are now, suggesting next steps.
And that gift mix, encouragement, mercy, giving, faith, it all feeds into that developer role.
How did he practically help people, according to the study?
Lots of ways listed. Risking his reputation, like with Paul, linking people to resources and networks, using co-ministry for training, being humble enough to let the mentee surpass him, and adapting his style. He didn't mentor John Mark the same way he mentored Paul.
So major contributions, even if he wasn't always the guy out front.
Definitely. The study sums it up. He linked Christianity to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
His mentoring of Paul and Mark was absolutely foundational, and he's this key model of apostleship, and especially that gift of exhortation, encouragement.
Okay, so wrapping this up, what are the big takeaways for us listening right now?
Well, first, how God often uses our background, the stuff we might think is just random, to prepare us. Foundational factors.
And wow, the power of just one person believing in someone else. Sponsoring them, linking them, offering that second chance, it can change everything.
And that mentoring isn't always about being the leader in charge. It's about humility, support, releasing others, mm-hmm. even if they eclipse you.
Right. And the long game, patiently investing in people, even through conflict, like with John Mark. It matters.
Yeah, it highlights the huge value of that sometimes unseen behind-the-scenes work of building others up. It's essential.
The study calls Barnabas the archetype of a mentor, especially for helping someone recover from failure. So maybe here's the thought to chew on. Who are you overlooking right now? Is there potential you're missing in someone, maybe someone who stumbled or doesn't fit the usual mold because you don't quite have Barnabas's vision or patience or maybe just the willingness to take that risk?
That's a good challenge. Really good one.
Definitely something to think about.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Barnabas. Hope it gave you some food for thought. And if you are interested in exploring topics like this further, you might want to check out the Kingdom Reformation community over at kingdomreformation.org.
Great stuff. Until next time.
Hey everyone, Glenn Blakeney here. Are you passionate about revival and reformation? Do you want to deepen your understanding of fivefold ministry and how to advance the kingdom in every sphere of life, including the marketplace? Well, then join the Kingdom Reformation Leaders Community today. We offer a free subscription to get you started, as well as a monthly plan that provides valuable content and insights. For those seeking even more, our Leaders Plan includes all-inclusive access to a wealth of resources focused on church leadership, apostolic movements, prophetic ministry, and much more. You can engage in live sessions and discussions that explore how to effectively implement these principles in your life and community. With our monthly leaders training featuring esteemed kingdom leaders from around the globe, you'll be equipped to make a transformative impact. Don't miss this chance to grow in your calling and to contribute to the movement of revival and reformation, advancing the kingdom of God to cities and nations. Sign up for the Leaders Plan or any other subscription at kingdomreformation.org today.